The Way of Escape is the title of today's message, taken from the text that you have read, Acts 23:12-35. Life with God is a protected life. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God comes and indwells you and seals you with its protection for all eternity. The psalmist in Psalm 91 extols his God for the protection that he has experienced from his God through everyday life. He says this in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And he says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." He's telling us that our God is trustworthy. He is a rock. He is a refuge. He is a fortress. And he has experienced him through life. And as we think of life, we think of the unknown factor. We don't know what is to be for us the next moment, the next hour, the next day. What will life be? But we have that assurance in our heart of God's care in our lives. When we commit our lives to His care, when we commit our lives to His leading. And the psalmist tells us that this God that we follow is almighty. Do you meditate upon the attributes of God? This is what one of those incommunicable attributes of God. An attribute of God that only He has, we cannot have. He's almighty. All power is with Him. He's infinite, eternal, and unchanging in His power. He's the almighty God. There is no power that can prevail against Him. Satan is a defeated foe with our almighty God. And it's wonderful for the Christian to meditate upon this, because through life, many fears can come and overwhelm the unguarded heart. And so the psalmist recommends us his God. He says that he has an intimate knowledge and relationship with his God for his life. And he tells us in these two verses that his God dwells with him, that he hides him, that God hides him in his care. And he says, "He knows me." Verse 1a, 1b, 2a, "He shelters me." He's my refuge. Verse 2b, "And he protects me." He's a stronghold, he's a fortress. Do you go through daily life with that kind of understanding and that kind of knowledge? I can trust God for His care for my life. I don't know what will be for me, but I have a stillness that is in my heart to enable me to say, come what may, the Lord is in charge, the Lord is in control, and the Lord is able to help me. God is more than a dwelling presence with His people. It is through Him and from Him that we receive special blessings. And the psalmist tells us that a close relationship with God brings with it much comfort, strength, much intimacy, and with it, that relationship enables the believer to live a life above what he's able to see with his naked eyes. He's able to live by faith. Yesterday, we were with our youths, and we were studying Revelation chapter 16, the last seven bowl judgments that would come upon the world during the Great Tribulation. And the last judgment that came is a great earthquake, the Bible says. Never before, never after. And it is described that every island fled away. We are living in an island state. And the Lord tells us that this home of ours that we have spent so much time to build over the last 50 years in time to come would be destroyed by the great earthquake that will come upon this earth. And it is indeed a sobering truth that brings us perspective concerning life. That indeed, this world is not our home. There is a spiritual perspective to this earthly life that the people of God must understand. And it begins with that knowledge of the invisible God who protects you, who cares for you, who helps you. And that personal relationship is cultivated in our everyday life. As you experience God in your in the various activities that you that comes to you in life. So the psalmist tells us, he says, surely he shall deliver thee from the fowls, from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust. Thou shalt not be afraid of terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by noonday, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. So the psalmist is telling us that life with God, there is a certain protection that God brings to him in his life that he wants to show to us that we may understand and we may be calm. We may know that there is a God in heaven, the Almighty God, who is able to help you through life. And as we think of life, we said that life, in life, there is no coincidence. There is no accident. Only His blessed providence. And there is a God behind, orchestrating the scenes of life. And the Lord wants us to know and understand this aspect of God's presence in your life to protect you so that you will not be plagued with any sudden fear. The Apostle Paul was one such person who experienced since his conversion the presence, the power of God in his life. And he served his master to the end of his life as a witness on earth. And Jesus was there to protect him and keep him throughout his lifetime. And we want to join him here in Acts 23 in a prison, in a fortress. Right? This Roman prison that we read that he was in, being held in custody, was actually a place of protection for him. God brought him there in order that he may be protected from the Jewish mob who wanted to kill him because he came and he told them that salvation comes through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That he is the only God, that he is the only Savior of the world. And God has come through his only begotten Son, the Messiah of the Old Testament, Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior of the world. Receive him, and for that truth that he preached to them, that he gave to them, he was, we said, skinned alive. Right? They wanted to kill him. They plotted against him. They wanted to pull him apart. He was in the lion's den, we said. Most difficult time. Most dangerous place. And yet, you see, a man of God is protected by his God wherever he goes. And the Lord wants you to have that kind of assurance in your heart, you know, that you are no different from the Apostle Paul. He was the chief of sinners who came to Jesus reluctantly, right? Because Jesus blinded him. He had no choice. And Jesus healed him. Jesus manifested his power and overall control of his life. Have you come to that understanding of a higher being in your life that is overall in charge and able to move things beyond your control, beyond your imagination, beyond your ability, and you realize that you have no strength against such an infinite being? Well, the Bible tells us that he is the creator, the one who made all the earth, and the one who is also sustaining it. And Paul is experiencing life with God, his faithful protector, as he goes into the lion's den. He was in Jerusalem, and there in custody within the Roman fortress, he was protected from the mob that wanted to tear him apart. And the danger didn't stop there. The captain of the guard, the military commander of the Roman army, saw him, and God, we saw last week how he was able to identify himself with this man to say that I'm a Roman citizen. And because he was a Roman citizen, he was protected. And we said that protection comes from God. If you have committed your life to God, then you can be assured that every aspect of your life, from the time you were born to the time you take your last breath, is under his care. And every area of your life, God knows. And God is fully aware and is fully working out his good will for you. We were studying in our Wednesday Bible study the life of Moses, how he was a deliverer that God made for Israel to come out of Egypt so that they would become a nation, a witness for God. And how was he protected? He was protected as a baby, flowing down the Nile when Pharaoh said that a decree to be given, all Jewish boys killed. So the two thoughts that we want to think about today, as you consider life, is danger and deliverance. Danger from verses 12 to 15 and deliverance from verses 16 to 35. And as you think about life, You don't know where the next pitfall, the next landmine will come, right? As you walk through life. You don't know. But you know that you have a God who knows. And that's why the Apostle Paul was such a privileged man to be given the privilege to write down an autobiography of his life, right? The epistles, description of his life. The Acts of the Apostles, right? His traveling companion Luke, recorded what God did for him. And in Acts 23:11, we left off there last week. Jesus came to him. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." So that's his next assignment. Remember, we were told he has to go to Jerusalem, and we were debating in our hearts from the text, that is it God's will for him to go? And we said that this text tells us indeed it was the will of God for him to go to Jerusalem, because he had to share with the church in Jerusalem that the gospel has been given to the Gentiles. That the gospel is going to the uttermost parts of the world. And he is God's instrument, God's vessel. And you too, God did not save you for no reason, but God saved you in order that you may be a witness for him on earth. And sometimes we think that we have not accomplished anything in life. We think, how can we accomplish anything for God in life? Well, the truth is this, that God wants us to simply daily follow him, walk with him, read his word, pray, and be in his presence. And he will guide you. And he will manifest his glory in your life. So this first thought, danger. The danger for Paul was far from over. He was brought to safety in the Roman castle fortress in Jerusalem. But there was danger that was lurking. There were 40 men, our text tells us, who have committed themselves with a fast to kill Paul. 40 strong men. We call them the Jewish zealots. They would be willing to use force, they will be willing to use the sword, use the knife, to accomplish their own ends and purposes. And they were laying ambush, our text tells us in verse 12, when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Wow, you have such enemies, huh? Very, very precarious, right? But here, you see how God make a way for him. The Lord provided a way of escape in this temptation, in this trial that was upon him. Verse 14 of our text says, "They came to the chief priests and the elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves together under a great curse, but we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul.'" And verse 15 tells us, "Now therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire him something more perfectly concerning him. And we are ever he come near, are ready to kill him." So he's saying that you, Sanhedrin, he was talking to these 40 men, had an audience with the high priest, and said to the high priest, "We have a plan to help you succeed to get rid of this man, Paul, who preached a different doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is to lure him and bring him before your council, the Sanhedrin council, meets in the center in Jerusalem, in a place where they would come together, and what we call the Chamber of Hewn Stone is in the west of the southwestern portion of the temple wall. Yeah, it is their meeting place, and it is about 400 meters from where Paul was kept in the castle, the Roman castle. So they ask that he be taken out of the castle, transported there, and more questions will be asked to him as a pretext. Then we can jump on him. So that's a good plan of ambush. Paul didn't know. We read the psalmist saying the noisome pestilence, the snare of the fowler, the little bird that's caught by a trap. I didn't know that there's a trap there. We won't know. As we go through life, we are not omniscient. We don't have all knowledge, but we have a God who knows all things and able to protect us as we commit our lives to Him. And so these 40 men plan an ambush at some strategic point between these two locations, right, while he's being brought, and he would be taken down. Very good plan, in a sense. Paul would be rid of. And on Wednesday, when we were having our prayer meeting, we were studying Psalm 3. And that was a psalm that described how David fled from his son Absalom. Absalom led an uprising, and David, an old man, had to flee Jerusalem. And it was a very difficult time for him. He was old and he was being chased. And the Bible tells us, and he wrote this psalm, he says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." If you think about the Apostle Paul in his condition, he must be thinking, how can I escape? I'm in a lion's den. The lions are lurking to eat me up. For David, it was the same. And we learn how his most trusted advisor, called Ahithophel. Ahithophel, the man who was always at his right hand, the one who knows all things about him, his chief strategist, has gone over to help his son. And what to do? He will surely be taken down, humanly speaking. And so, as he walked up the steps of the Mount of Olives, leaving the palace, he was sad. He was weeping, the Bible says. And then he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, thwart the counsel of Ahithophel." And then the next moment, he saw a man coming to him by the name of Hushai. Who is Hushai? Hushai the Archite will be the man whom God will send to thwart the counsel of Absalom so that the uprising will be defeated. And so you see the dangers that comes through life, and we see that if you have God with you, then you know that you're not alone through life. God is able to help you. As David committed his ways to the Lord from young and experienced God's faithfulness to care for him, So did the Apostle Paul when he was converted as an adult. He committed his life to God. And God was there to take care of him. Jesus said to his disciples before he left for the cross, he says in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You will have Jesus with you. He's going to protect you all the way through life. And let's see how God protected the Apostle Paul. Verse 16 of our text, the second thought, deliverance. Verse 16 says, "And when Paul's sister's son heard..." Now, where? We haven't heard that Paul had any other family members. Okay? But here, Luke recorded for us that he has a sister, and the sister has a son. And the son was in Jerusalem. And the son happened to be there at the time when the council was speaking to the 40 men who were ready to pound on Paul. And what happened? Well, our text tells us, when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait. You see, God works in a mysterious ways. How do you protect yourself? You don't know how. You're so limited. Paul didn't know how, but I believe he, like David, committed his ways to the Lord. He asked God to protect him. He asked God to keep him. And so what happened here? Well, the sister's son saw, heard, and he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Whoa. You see, how God is able to protect his own. In his own special way, he protects his own. God knows. Right? And it is very interesting. We don't know why the son was there. Was he studying with, you know, in the Jewish school like Paul did? What was the reason why he was in Jerusalem? Did the sister move to Jerusalem to stay there from Cilicia of Tarsus? It's not mentioned. But it is mentioned that the son of the sister was there. Coincidence of coincidence. Was it coincidence? Well, we said that we have an almighty God who takes care of his children. And God wants us to know and to have that kind of a faith to trust him, to know that he is with you, that he will help you through life. As you go through life, you don't know what are the dangers that you would go through. But you can commit your life to God. Do you wake up every morning and do you commit your life to God? Do you pray and seek the Lord? Well, we pray this prayer together with the children. Lord, lead, protect me from harm and danger. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, from the evil one. We always have to ask God to protect us, to deliver us from principalities and powers in high places, darkness, dark powers on this earth that we cannot see with our physical eyes, but our God knows, and He is there to protect us. So we sang the song, "Guide me, Thou, O great Jehovah." As we go through this pilgrim land, God is there for you, to help you. God is there for you, to protect you. And here in our text, we see how the plot was exposed. Right? Verse 17 of our text says, "Then Paul caught one of the centurions unto him." The sister's son came and told him, "Danger, don't go. So he says to the centurion, bring my sister's son to the chief captain and let him tell him what is going on. So the plot was exposed. And when it was exposed by this man, an honorable man, honorable commander of 1,000 soldiers, by night, sent a troop, 200 soldiers, foot soldiers, and armed soldiers to escort him, to escape. Escape from Jerusalem to Caesarea. Caesarea is the capital of that region. It's the administrative, judicial capital. So if you want to try anyone, right? Paul is a Roman citizen. So he cannot be incarcerated, put in jail, beaten without a trial, a proper trial. And only the governor is able to give him that trial. And the seat of government, of judicial government, is in Caesarea, right? This place that Herod the Great built. We were there when we were touring the Holy Land. We were brought to the amphitheater. They have a beautiful harbour. You remember we showed the picture of the harbour, and there is the edifice of Caesar that rises up at the harbour, and there also amphitheater. So we were brought to the amphitheater, and you know, we are told, and it's true, that when you speak there, it has a very wonderful acoustics. You are able to hear yourself. And it was there in Caesarea, that Paul was being brought. And it was there that he was brought to this administrative and judicial center of Judea, where he would be brought before the Roman procurator of Judea. This man called Felix. He would be escorted and he would escape from this danger. And if you think about this is his third missionary journey. And we have read of danger after danger, difficulty after difficulty. That's life, isn't it? Can we say that we pass one day through life without encountering imminent danger? Well, I drive my car daily. And every time before driving, I must remind myself, pray, ask God to protect me while I drive. Because all around, as you go to the PIE, you go to the CTE, you go to the KPE, or the, you see danger, accidents all over. The ambulance is always at the side of the road. Some other man would be lying there. And you feel, wow. What a sad thing. Another man down. Ambulance bringing him to the hospital. He's being knocked down. We are not saying that life with God, you will not encounter physical danger. But what we are saying here is that your life is protected by God for all eternity. Absent in the body is present with the Lord. We have that kind of assurance. If our life is going to be to end in a certain way, along the highway, to be brought to glory, that is the will of God for our lives, and we praise God for it. We are willing to trust God that He guides us in His own mysterious way, in His own perfect way. We cannot explain life. We cannot fathom and try to decipher the mysterious workings of God in life. But we know that we have a God who protects us, sealed us from all danger from the time that we committed our lives to Him. So the psalmist says, He that dwelleth, He that remained. The word there is, the verb there is to sit, to remain in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We are to, moment by moment, continue to commit our lives, surrender our lives to God. Whatever will befall us, God knows. And before you do anything, do you pray and commit the matter to God? I think for the people of God, sometimes we take for granted. You know, we don't pray enough. We don't ask God enough concerning the things that we are going to do, about to do, our plans, our daily activities. Not just a routine. The Lord is working out His good plan for our lives. And He wants us to tarry with Him. He wants us to know that you are a protected person in Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus says, as we, in closing, John 16:33. What did Jesus say in John 16:33? We mentioned, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Don't expect that this new week that comes would be smooth, in the sense that danger may come. But you have that assurance. Jesus says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the dangers for you. And I'm there to protect you. And you can be assured of my care in your life. You can be assured of my presence to go with you. So as the psalmist says, no noisome pestilence, no danger that God will not know, that God will not protect. So may we have that assurance in our heart, to commit our lives to God, to daily commit our plans to God, and to daily walk in His presence and experience His love and care for us in a most precious and personal way. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy presence with us, for Thy mercy upon us, for Thy grace that sustains us. Lord, we pray that Thou would help us to be still and know that Thou art God. Whatever that comes in life, through life, Lord, give us the faith to look to Thee, to find strength, to find stability in our hearts, in our minds, from Thee. May Thou strengthen the hearts of Thy people. Bless us as we go out this week. May Thy presence abide to keep Thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.